And all of God's people said, Alleluia. Do you prefer that with an A or an H? It's somehow saying Alleluia sounds more polite than saying Hallelujah. So I prefer Hallelujah. Scripture lesson this morning is a story that I love that's a part of this Easter story. And so follow along with me as we read together this story from the Gospel according to Luke. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? Do you not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things, he asked. Well, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, oh, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. And so he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. From the very beginning, this story seemed to lack credibility. Even his own disciples found it hard to believe. And those who were not devoted to Jesus found it impossible to believe. In fact, to this very day, there are those who find this story impossible to believe. It seems like some concocted folk tale. Even, perhaps, among some of us who are gathered here this morning. It seems like a fable, like a story that you might read in some book of fables by Hans Christian Andersen, like the story of the emperor's new clothes. Remember that story? Yeah. This vain emperor who had no substance to him, no depth to him, was only concerned with his outward appearance, was conned by a couple of slick talkers into believing that if they turned his jewels and his precious metals over to them, that they could create this wonderful suit of clothing that would be invisible to those who were hopelessly stupid or not able to function properly in their appointments, or those who were below their station. So the king, the emperor, turned his jewels and fine, precious metals over to him, and they pocketed that stuff and proceeded to pretend that they were weaving this pretend set of clothing. And when they were finished with this deception and invited the emperor in to see what they had done, he was so vain that he was not willing to admit what was true, that he saw nothing. He didn't want them to think that he was hopelessly stupid, though he obviously was. And so he put on this make-believe suit of clothing and paraded himself butt naked before his loyal subjects and everyone else who was afraid to admit the truth of the thing, spoke with high regard about this beautiful set of clothing. And everyone, that is, except a young child who had not yet been taught the art of deception. And he said, in perfect Cockney accent, "He ain't got no clothes on." For many, the Easter story seems like that story. It speaks of things that don't seem to be true. But certainly none of us within the church would ever hazard to say that. And so we continue to tell the story and sing, "Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah!" Or more politely, "Alleluia." The truth of the Easter story is that there weren't any reporters there taking notes. It didn't make the front page of the Jerusalem Times. There were no photographs. There's no death certificate. There is no historical record that Jesus arose from the dead. But it doesn't matter, because the truth of the story can be read on the hearts of those who spoke with him, who fellowshiped with him, who dined with him following his death and resurrection. The truth of that story can only be truly seen in the burning hearts of his followers. It was true back then. It has been true throughout history. It has been in the passion of Jesus' followers that the truth of the story can be known. It is in our hearts that burn for him that the truth of the story can be known. It was true of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, who was an Anglican priest who came to the colonies in 1738 as a missionary to convert the Native Americans. And he was so discouraged from that experience that he lost faith. And on his way back to England. He ran into some Moravians who encouraged him. But when he got back to London, he still thought that he had completely lost his faith. And so he looked up a Moravian gathering that met on Aldersgate Street. And he went to one of their meetings. And it was in that meeting that night, as whoever was speaking spoke of the truth of the risen Christ who is alive and dwelling among them. It was in that moment that John Wesley said, "My heart was strangely warmed." It was another Methodist by the name of Samuel Chadwick, who was raised in a very poor family. His father worked all of his life in a cotton mill, worked 12 hours a day. And when young Samuel was 8 years old, he went to work with his father in the cotton mill, 12 hours a day. They were a very faithful Christian family. And so they went to chapel service three times on every Sunday. And Samuel sensed the call to preach. And so after working his 12 hours in the cotton mill, he would go home and study and pray for 5 more hours. And he was a pretty noted preacher in that day, in the late 1800s, early 1900s. But one day, in his prayers, the living God confronted him with his lack of compassion for the risen Christ. He was kind of going through the mechanics, you know. He knew the scriptures. He could preach very eloquently, but his preaching lacked passion. And it was then that for the first time in his life, his heart began to burn for Jesus. And he took all of his sermons, he ripped them up, he threw them in the fireplace, and he began preaching new sermons. He was a new preacher. Later, he writes about this experience in one of the many books that he wrote. He says, I have it here somewhere, "It is by fire that a holy passion is kindled in the soul, whereby we live the life of God. The soul's safety is in its heat, in that fire that burns. Truth without enthusiasm, morality without emotion, ritual without soulfulness make for a church without power." Listen, the evidence of the resurrection cannot be found in historical records. It never could. But it can clearly be seen in the passion of those who follow Jesus. You ask us how we know He lives? He lives within my heart. That's what those two discouraged disciples discovered that day on the road to Emmaus. They were so discouraged. They had heard these rumors that Christ had risen from the dead, but who could believe that kind of tale? And it was kind of dangerous to admit that you even knew Jesus. And so they weren't content to merely hide out in suburban Jerusalem. They were getting out of Dodge on their way to a place that was far away. And it was while they were on their way on the road to Emmaus that Jesus Himself walked among them. They didn't recognize Him because they thought He was dead. And so they talked with Him. They enjoyed His company. They didn't want Him to leave them. Somehow they had a sense of comfort just being with this stranger. And so when he appeared to go on his way, they said, "No, please come and stay with us." And it was as he took bread and broke it as he had done just a few days before. But their eyes were opened and they realized it was Jesus. And they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" We need to rediscover that kind of passion for Jesus. You know, the church, through the ages, has always grown when Christians were on fire for their God. And they always attracted a crowd of people who just came to watch them burn. The church will continue to grow. Not because someone finds an ancient clipping of the front page of the New York Times. But when the Church of Jesus Christ, when the passion is restored to the church, when our hearts burn within us, then the world will know that this story is not the latest in the Harry Potter series, is not a fable, is not a Mother Goose tale, but it is the truth because they see Jesus in our hearts, our passion for Jesus. No good sermon or even bad sermon would be complete without talking about my wife. And when we first met in the mental hospital, and I fell madly in love. I mean, we met on a Wednesday. I went home to my home congregation in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, told my dad I met the girl I was going to marry. And then Carol saw the light 2 years later. And I fell madly in love with her, and she fell in love with me. And there was a period when we were so different. I mean, have you ever known anybody else like me, you know? So we were so different, and we just decided one day, we made an intelligent decision that there was just no way that we could survive this relationship, either of us. And so we agreed together to go our own separate ways. And that lasted for 3 days. I was so heartsick. And when I finally broke down and called her, she confessed that she was heartsick too. You see, this fire had been lit within our hearts. That fire over the past nearly 41 years has had a few dousing moments. But as that passion is rekindled, our love is alive. And we have a life because of the passion that is within us. You and I, my brother and sister, need to rediscover that passion for Jesus. And when we do, the world will know that Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. How will they know? They will see it in our hearts. Let's rise to our feet and sing our closing hymn.